Blog
I'm coming to you live from beautiful Seattle, Washington, sporting a fantastic view of the mountains and gorgeous vistas of scenic Puget Sound. I'll be doggone, it's not raining. It's actually sunny out. It's gorgeous, and there's snow all over the place. Now, if you've listened to my previous shows, you know that I came up here to Seattle from Florida. Now, I'm used to this time of year being able to walk on the beach, maybe sit in a chair and gaze out over the waves. Sometimes it's 60, 70 degrees this time of year. You never know. But up here, there's snow on the ground, and it is absolutely beautiful. It's been something like 18 years since I've seen snow, and I am absolutely impressed. This is the Mental Power Hour, and I am your host, T. LeVon Lawrence, NeuroSculpting Certified Mental Fitness and Brain Training Consultant, author and designer of the NeuroSculpting Mental Fitness Brain Training System, for life-changing development of improved mental concentration, better mental focus, and stronger mental discipline and willpower while enhancing brain health and brain fitness. Folks, I am absolutely excited about our topic today. This is something that's dear to my heart, as is pretty much every topic that I do, but I got to tell you what, this here is important for you. It's so important for you, I'm going to give you enough information to pack into your arsenal you'll be able to carry with you for months. Fact, if you find yourself lacking personal power to carry out the good and right desires for your life, if you're frustrated by inconsistency, procrastination, or indecision, then your problem is a lack of self-ownership. And the solution is higher. Mark the word, higher, not more, but higher self-discipline. That's the solution. And I'll explain the difference. Fact, the good news is that the causes of weak or lower self-discipline can be used as the very allies you need in the acquisition of higher self-discipline. The things that are stopping you are the very things that are going to help you get to your destination. It's your brain. It only uses certain functions. And if those functions are working against you, all you got to do is add two ingredients, and they'll work for you. If you lack self-discipline, then you're already using everything you need to get it. You're just missing two ingredients. And when I tell you what these two ingredients are and how to actually implement them and use them and apply them to you, to how your brain operates, then those cognitive abilities that are getting in your way are actually going to start to work for you. It's amazing how simple these things are. I did not say easy. It's not always easy, but it is actually very simple. You're going to have to go through some things, and you're going to maybe notice or detect some things you don't like. But the very fact that you do this, that you actually go ahead and detect these things, eventually that's what gives you the very power over them. Folks, have we got a show for you today? Every week I say, folks, have we got a show for you today? But let me tell you something. This one here is a doozy. Self-discipline, the power to own yourself. How to turn a lack of self-discipline into your ally for better self-discipline. We're going to discuss self-discipline, what it really means, and what you can get out of it. We're going to talk about those two missing ingredients. They are attention and memory. two little ingredients that if you could just get these things in order, you will have all the self-discipline you can handle. And the experience is not what most people think it is. You're not making yourself do anything. There's no self to make. I know that sounds strange, but there's no self that you're going to make do anything. That's like trying to chew your own teeth, for crying out loud. There's no making yourself. And all that gritting down, you know, just stress and strain and force and all that stuff's unnecessary. And most of the time it fails anyway. Nah, you're just missing attention and memory. And if you can just put those two ingredients into the mix, you will have a fantastic buffet of benefits. We're also going to give you a couple of powerful ideas to help you along the way. Self-discipline, the power to own yourself, because that's what it's really all about. When you're not doing what you set out to do, when you're inconsistent, you just don't own yourself in that moment. Something else is at play, and we're going to deal with that. Also on today's show, we're going to talk a little bit about some of the live personal and group training we've done this week. I'm going to tell you a little bit about a book and a movie. We'll call it the My Nourishing Book and Movie of the Week, but I don't always do it weekly. But I've got one book I find very special and one movie I think you should watch. Now, you can call in during the show. You can ask me some questions or get advice. The phone number is 347-884-9397. Now, when the show is over, you can still contact me personally at 904-638-3851. Ask any questions. Get a little bit of guidance if you need. Now, I'm not always on the phone. I do a lot of meetings and a lot of training, but if you leave a message, I will get back to you. Hundreds of people can attest to that fact. So how valuable is this episode for you this week? What are you going to get out of listening to this particular episode? We're talking about self-discipline, right? What is it that you want in your life that you're having a difficult time getting? What's slowing you down? What's getting in your way? Think of something that you know that you could do if only you could apply yourself, but you're having an interesting time applying yourself. Well, we're going to get into the whole idea of the self, the forces, the mechanics in the brain that determine whether you do what you set out to do. And we're going to deal with those simple two ingredients, put them in the right order so that you can carry out your ambitions, your intents, your dreams, realize more of your potential. So that you can learn a bit about this self that needs the so-called discipline. Because I tell you what, when I say that, you know, there's the, in you can't make yourself do anything, and I say there's no self to make. Well, we're going to talk about the actual nature of that thing that we're trying to conceptualize there. It's quite possible that this episode is exactly what you need to cross over that barrier that's been getting in your way, that's been holding you back. Now, I give this stuff away for free. I talk about this with no holes barred. I'll give you all the information you need, and all I ask is that you share this with somebody who could use it. Do you know anybody who has a problem with self-discipline? Put them on this particular episode. Send them an email. Say, hey, you got to listen to this particular episode on self-discipline. You got to let them know that this guy, T. LeVon Lawrence, has an entire training archive at Blog Talk Radio. Here's the URL to listen to this guy. Check out his archive. He's got a bunch of shows on mental concentration, mental focus, willpower, self-discipline, attention control, mindfulness, everything you need to be able to own yourself, to be able to operate your mind with greatest efficiency. This is the show you need to listen to, my friend who lacks self-discipline. It's about, all I ask, folks, is that you let somebody else know. Give them a gift. Hey, it's the holiday season. Give them the gift of this show. Let them hear something that's actually good for them. And by the way, I've got a gift for you. If you didn't already know, at our online training studio, you can go to up top of the page there. There's a tab for a course called 7 Days to Better Brain Fitness. Now, 7 Days to Better Brain Fitness is a completely self-contained brain training mental fitness course. It's 7 days of information that you can go through to be able to establish a new mental fitness lifestyle for yourself so that you can improve your control over your attention, over your thoughts, begin to master your emotions. When you go through this course, you will literally know pretty much everything you need to know to be able to make an effective start. And then all you got to do is practice. And eventually you will have what you need. So go to www.neurosculpting.com. That's NEURO-sculpting.com. Check out 7 Days to Better Brain Fitness. Now, as you're listening to this show, if you're at blogtalkradio.com, feel free to find the Like This button and share this show with some of your friends. Share us on Facebook. Share us on Twitter. Let everyone know that you're listening to something that's actually very good for them and for you. The Mental Power Hour is brought to you by the NeuroSculpting Mental Fitness Training Studio for the life-changing development of improved mental concentration, better mental focus, and stronger mental discipline and willpower while enhancing brain health and brain fitness. Visit the studio at www.neurosculpting.com, NEURO-sculpting.com. Next week's show, we're going to talk about something, again, near and dear to my heart, the power of concentration, the classic work by Theron Q. DeMont, the power of concentration. Now, thousands of people have gotten this ebook by joining the 7 Days to Better Brain Fitness course. Thousands of people. Not that many have actually gone through the ebook and done what he suggests. And that's a shame, because it turns out that I got into this industry by that book. The Power of Concentration was the first work I read on attention control and mental concentration. I literally remember training 2-3 hours a day using that ebook. And that was the beginning of me being able to have some level of mental mastery. Changed everything for me. So next week's show is about the power of concentration. We're going to go through it. We're going to talk about some of the best stuff in there. If you need a copy of The Power of Concentration, just go to the NeuroSculpting Training Studio. Go ahead and put your email address in for the free 7-day course, and you'll also get a copy of The Power of Concentration. The big disclaimer, the information we provide on the Mental Power Hour is for educational and entertainment purposes only. We do not claim nor suggest you ignore the advice of legitimately qualified mental health care professionals. If you feel you may have a serious mental health issue, you should consult your doctor. This past week in some of our live personal and group training, there's two issues that kind of stand out for me. The first one, and I kind of discussed this a little bit last week, is goals. If you want to achieve a goal more efficiently, more effectively, if you want the effect of the goal actually coming to you instead of you having to hustle and work so doggone hard, your first priority is that you have got to be who you need to be and think toward that end at the beginning of your goal. It's great to sit down and set a business or career goal or a social goal, but you really need to make your first priority to think about the person you need to be in order to achieve that goal. And then you need to make sure that every single day you think about those characteristics, that person, so that you can act from that place rather than take your actions as the person you've always been. It's a counterintuitive concept, I understand. But sometimes when we set big goals and we go out and we start to take massive action and we're floundering around, we're better off if we take the action of the person we need to be as opposed to taking the action of the person we are. In other words, you can take massive action, but don't make the mistake of assuming that the action of the limited person is the same as the action of the unlimited person. You need to project in your mind, sit down, think about, and contemplate who you need to become, and you need to contemplate that so clearly, so crisply, that it's automatic. You're going to act as that person. There was a phrase I heard years ago called fake it till you make it. Well, if you're actually thinking of yourself as the person you need to be, if you put your mind on it so intently that you understand that person's characteristics, you're not faking it when you act that way. You are already that person. Goals are much easier to achieve when you are acting as the person who has already achieved the goal. It's not always easy work. You may have to do some reading about biographies of people who've already done great things. You need to know their characteristics. How do they think? How do they approach things? And you need to integrate those characteristics into your own life. And you do that by sitting down and thinking of those characteristics already possessed by yourself. You need to see yourself as that person. Feel what it must be like. And then you need to approach every act in your day, every task that you do, with that person's attention, that person's care, that person's concentration, that person's discipline. The second thing that has been very evident in some of the training that we've done this week is procrastination. I do not understand why procrastination is such a problem. I know it's the holidays, but I still can't understand why it's such a problem, especially considering the number of tools that are available to trainees under this system to help them get out of those types of patterns. There's no excuse for procrastination under this system. Before anybody ever even signs up for an online studio subscription, thousands of people have access to a good deal of anti-procrastination methods, procrastination busters. Matter of fact, I launched a video series on our YouTube channel on defeating procrastination. It is the most in-depth video series on overcoming procrastination on the planet. There's no other video series that gives this much information, these many techniques that are so effective for totally eliminating procrastination from a person's life. And it's right there on my YouTube channel, www.youtube.com/user/dynamic mental fitness. Or you just go to YouTube, type in defeating procrastination, and the video series pops up. No excuse for procrastination under this system. The thousands of people who have signed up for the 7 Days of Better Brain Fitness course, they all have access to procrastination-busting techniques. Everybody has access to this procrastination-busting philosophy. It's true that you might not even need techniques to be able to overcome procrastination. Sometimes you just need the knowledge of what procrastination is. Knowing what it is can go a long way to eliminating it from your life. It's a mental trick. And just like what I'm going to talk about today, the very characteristics that cause procrastination are the very characteristics that you can use to eliminate it. My nourishing book of the week. I'd like you guys to take a look at a book entitled Siddhartha. Siddhartha, written by Hermann Hesse, Hermann Hesse. a very profound book. I'm not even going to tell you about it, but I will tell you this. The main character says something about halfway through the book that literally applies to what we're going to talk about today when it comes to self-discipline, the power to own yourself. And the statement he uses is that is, I have the power to think, to fast, and to wait. Read the book, Siddhartha. My Nursing Book of the Week. My Nursing Movie of the Week. Shenandoah, starring Jimmy Stewart. It's an anti-war movie. It's very deep, very profound. And it's just a good movie. Shenandoah, Shenandoah, starring Jimmy Stewart. Should probably be able to get that one on, you can order it on Netflix or find it in the cheap section of a video store. Should be easy to get a hold of. My Nursing Movie of the Week. Now, self-discipline, the power to own yourself. How to turn a lack of self-discipline into your ally for better self-discipline. What is self-discipline and what can you get out of it? It's not what you think it, and most people have no idea what self-discipline really is. Well, it's when I do what I say I'm going to do. Okay, that's a start. But that's not really what self-discipline is. Self-discipline is the practice of removing all obstacles that interfere with your complete freedom to be all you can be. The practice of removing all obstacles that interfere with your complete freedom to be all you can be. And all such obstacles exist completely and entirely within your own mind. The things that are getting in the way of your self-discipline exist in your own mind, because it's only in your own mind that you allow anything to stop you from doing what it is you set out to do and becoming what you set out to become. It's all in your mind. And within your mind, the greatest obstacle is the illusion, the delusion, that you're being stopped by external circumstances, by external forces. That's the greatest of the obstacles. And it's the most persistent and difficult to overcome. But with the very practice of removing obstacles, it inevitably will fall just like the rest. And once you get rid of the obstacle, the delusion that something else is preventing you, nothing else is going to stand in your way. Now, me personally, the first thing I would do is attack that obstacle. Self-discipline is the practice of removing all obstacles that interfere with your complete freedom to be all you can be, and every single one of those obstacles exists within your own mind. And once you realize this, there's nothing that's going to be stopping you. This practice of removing those obstacles is self-perpetuating. It's a lifestyle. That's why I use the term mental fitness lifestyle. It's something you're going to be doing every day, and the more you give attention to it, the easier it becomes, and the greater the benefits you enjoy. It's like standing at the beginning of a river, and as the further up you walk, the wider the river gets. Now, I'll tell you what self-discipline is not. It's not engaging in practice habits. Just because you engage in a practice habit does not mean that you are self-disciplined. It merely means that you're engaging in a habit of practice. Practicing at that particular thing. If you practice at chess or you practice at a musical instrument, you practice sales techniques, you practice public speaking, those things are generally considered to be, if someone looks at you, oh, you practice every day, oh, wow, you must have serious self-discipline. No, that's just a practice habit. It is not the discipline of the self. It is not you. It is merely an activity. Remember my definition. Self-discipline is the practice of removing all obstacles that interfere with your complete freedom to be all you can be. Now, all those types of activities can be used as practice tools for the improvement of your level of self-discipline, but they are not self-discipline itself. Remember, everything that you need to remove, every obstacle, exists in your mind. And you don't remove those obstacles by sitting down and engaging in an activity. You remove those obstacles by dealing with them in your mind, clearing the mind of obstacles. Clearing the mind of the habits of believing in obstacles in the mind. Getting rid of certain mental habits. So no, practicing martial arts, practicing athletic things and working out, no, those, that's not self-discipline. Those are disciplines. Martial arts is a discipline. Piano, a discipline. Chess, a discipline. Those are disciplines, but they are not self-discipline. Remember, we're talking about a discipline of the self. Self-discipline will result in a better you, but not by society standards. No, no, no. Not by society standards. You're going to be a better you by nature's standard. By a standard of the truth, what is real, what is reality. Not by what society says is a better you. Those standards shift from society to society, from culture to culture, from person to person. But when you're in a state where you have no obstacles preventing you from being all you can be, when your mind is clear and efficient and you can carry out your will, that is nature's standard for a better you, a truer you. Now, let's talk about some signs that you don't own yourself, that you are suffering from lower self-discipline or a lack of self-discipline. You are not engaged in the discipline of improving yourself. Here's one: your thoughts, emotions, and your physiological urges result in your taking inconsistent, conflicting, or simply wrong action that takes you away from your intent for your life. Your thoughts, your emotions, your urges are all acting against you. And you get to the end of every day going, what in the world happened? It's a pretty sad state to be in. You're dealing in inner conflict and competing urges, impulses, and desires. That one there used to be really bad with me before I started training. Inner conflict, competing urges, impulses, and desires. In the morning, I wanted one thing. By the time lunch rolled around, I wanted another thing. By the time dinner rolled around, I was on an entirely different tangent. My mind was always racing, always moving, always jumping from desire to desire, to urge, to want, from need to need. That intention I would hold in the morning was simply not there come evening time. It was no wonder I got nothing done. It was no wonder I couldn't move in a straight line to my objectives. Oh, I was making money. That's not a problem. Anybody can work a job and be told what to do. Anybody can show up to their employment. But when it comes to doing something for yourself, or even when it comes to maximizing your impact at your own employment or your own business, if your desires and your impulses and your thoughts and emotions are always in conflict, you're never going to move in a straight line to your objectives. You'll move in a circle, or you'll just get it wrong and go completely off the path. That is a sad pattern. It's very frustrating. That's what led me to seek out a work such as the one we're going to talk about next week, The Power of Concentration. And it was The Power of Concentration that saved my hide. Inner conflict. Your urges, your thoughts, your emotions, they're working against you. There's inner conflict. They're taking you in the wrong direction. Now, you think about what you want, but you don't act. Procrastination. And again, this past week, that's one of the things that stood out the most when it came to live personal training is procrastination. We have the solutions. I've already talked about that. Procrastination is a sure sign of lower self-discipline, that you don't own yourself. When you do act, you act inconsistently. Inconsistency. Wherever you are, you're not really there. There's a sign of lower self-discipline. Your mind is always someplace else, no matter what you're doing. You can be at a beach watching a sunset with a perfect person sitting next to you, and your mind is gone somewhere else. You're never where you really are. You don't have the mental discipline. Your mind is doing whatever it is conditioned to do. And you remember last week's show, we talked about the wandering mind. That the recent Harvard University study showed that on average people's attention wandered off at least 46.9% of the time. And that's every day, all day. Even when they're in an attention-demanding task, you think about people driving a car. Let's say there's a 10-mile trip, somebody's in a car. For 5 miles, that person is off in a daydream, off in la-la land. That's you. That's the normal person. And when the mind is not under the command of your conscious attention, that's a sure sign of lower self-discipline. And, you know, the interesting thing is, when your mind behaves in that fashion, of course you're going to act inconsistently. Of course you're going to suffer procrastination. Of course you're going to have inner conflict and competing urges and impulses and desires that war against one another. Of course your thoughts and emotions and urges are going to work against you and take you in a veering course rather than a straight line. And here's another sign that you don't own yourself, that you are suffering from lower self-discipline. You are outer-directed rather than self-directed. Somebody always has to tell you what to do. Somebody else is always directing your life. You blame external forces for your lot in life. You act in accordance to every situation that pops up, rather than go by your own honest internal compass. You react rather than act. Your life is ruled and determined by circumstance rather than the other way around. Now, these things, you'll have to be self-honest you'd have to assess yourself and you have to say, hey, you know what? Do I daydream a lot? Is my mind always roaming all over the place? Am I seldom where I really am when I'm doing work, when I'm speaking to other people? Or am I drifting and daydreaming? When I sit to enjoy a beautiful thing such as a sunset or I'm walking through the park, where is my mind? Is it with me? Is my mind ever in the room with me so that I know what I'm doing? Do I know where I am? Do I drift? My results, am I really fulfilling my ability to do what I set out to do? Could I be better at it? Could I be doing it more efficiently, more effectively? What's getting in my way? Well, generally, it's going to be the things that I just discussed. And I tell you what, willpower just doesn't work. The traditional concept of willpower doesn't work in these situations. Again, you can't make yourself do anything. You either do or you don't do, but you don't make yourself. That's an illusion. Willpower does not work because you haven't trained for willpower. Willpower, actual willpower, is a very advanced skill. It is totally conscious. Common ideas about willpower are just plain misguided. The symptoms we just listed are not overcome by willpower. Matter of fact, the need to try to force yourself to do stuff is a sign of lower self-discipline. You should never need to force yourself. It should be easy for you. Rather, it should be simple. Eventually, it'll be easy. At first, it's not going to be easy, but it's going to be simple. And with practice, it becomes easy. And then you never have to force yourself. Of course, you would never fall for the illusion that you're going to even try. It's a waste of time. Higher self-discipline, or stronger, or better, or however you want to describe it, is indicated by unified thoughts, emotions, and urges. But you got to train for it. Your thoughts, your urges, your emotions, they're all moving in one direction, and they are consciously determined. You say how these things are going to move. Your thoughts don't tell you what to do. You tell your thoughts what's going to go down. And then you think the thoughts you really want to think. Random, unwanted thought patterns do not rule you. Now, remember, we do have the brain is a conditioned mechanism as well as a conscious mechanism. There is programming there. It's recorded. And so certain thoughts and unwanted patterns are going to pop up. But when you're someone who possesses higher self-discipline, those things don't rule you. You have your own level of guidance, your own internal guidance. You know what it is you're supposed to be doing. And so you think those thoughts on purpose. You think the thoughts about the thing. You think those thoughts in a certain way, and that fosters positive emotion that gives you the urge to do the thing you need to do. Now, the opposite of that is you are not in control of your thoughts. Your thoughts, emotions, and your urges are not unified. They are conflicting. And because they are conflicting, they result in pain, in stress. That's internal conflict. It's pain, stress, anxiety. And so the only urge you get out of that is the urge to escape the pain, conflict, and anxiety. And so you go off into distraction. You do something that is entertaining as opposed to goal achieving. When you know there's a few pages you need to write, let's say you're a writer or an executive and there's something you need to write, you know there's books you should be reading, there's studying that needs to be done, and you've got inner conflict going on, that's pain, anxiety, stress. So the brain naturally wants to escape those things. It's called the pleasure principle. The pleasure principle is the way the brain operates. It pursues pleasure and avoids pain. when you don't own yourself, when you don't own your own thoughts, emotions, and impulses, and that results in inner conflict and pain, your brain is going to blame the thing that you're supposed to be doing. Because remember, let's give an example. Let's say there's a book you need to be reading, or you should be reading, or that you said to yourself that you wanted to read this book. When the time comes, you have a thought about the book, but there's a competing desire, competing thoughts with their competing emotions that arises in your brain. Well, they're at war with one another. That results in pain, correct? Well, your brain is going to associate that pain and discomfort that it is experiencing in that moment. It's going to associate that unpleasantness not with the fact that you just had a conflict, but it's going to associate it with the thing you thought of in the first place, which was, hey, there's this book to be read. Now, it might not seem particularly intelligent that your brain would do that, but that's just the way it works. You thought of a thing, and the next thing you know, you're in pain. So the brain says, I don't want to read that book. I'm in pain over the matter. It did not notice the fact that, well, the reason there's pain is because there's a conflict that arose, and that the solution is to resolve the conflict, not blame the thing to be done. Higher self-discipline. Thoughts, emotions, and urges are unified, easy, flowing in a straight line. Action is easy because you don't have the inner conflict. Higher self-discipline means that you master the ability to detect and then let go of impractical thoughts and feelings. This is a skill that we are going to talk about here shortly. I'm going to tell you how to get there. It's a self-discipline. Part of self-discipline is a series of acts every single day where you know there's something you set out to do, whereas your old conditioning, your brain's old conditioning, causes conflicting feelings, conflicting thoughts, conflicting emotions to rise up, conflicting urges and desires to rise up, to wrestle against this good thing. Self-discipline, higher self-discipline, is the ability to detect that onslaught, that onset of conflict. And just like in the book I told you about earlier, Siddhartha, to be able to wait it out, to not become involved in it. Your conscious attention is aware of what's happening, and all you've got to do is relax, breathe, and then the conflict just poof into thin air, goes away. And then you can go on and proceed with what it is you want to do, because only then are you obeying your actual will. Now remember, there was no force there. You can't make yourself do anything. But you can wait, you can outwait the inner conflict that would cause you to avoid the thing you need to do. It's a special feeling, folks. It's a very special feeling to do that even for the first time. Once you do it, the feeling of the knowledge that you're able to do it, and that you're able to do it every time until eventually inner conflict is not a problem. Now, a person who has higher self-discipline has fewer desires. That's an interesting thing. Remember, part of the problem of lower self-discipline is conflicting desires, numerous desires, shifting from moment to moment. You want one thing now, you want another thing later, and they don't agree with one another. So you wind up standing in one place for months, years. But see, when you have higher self-discipline, when you've engaged in the practice of removing obstacles from your mind, removing those obstacles that get in the way of your freedom to be all that you can be, when you engage in that practice, one of the things you're going to resolve is competing desires. The fewer desires that you have, the more you're going to achieve and the less conflict and stress you're going to deal with. And these desires that you need to get rid of are the very ones that have been conditioned into you by society. You want to be happy, but society's conditioned into you that you have to acquire a whole bunch of this and that in order to be happy. And it's all nonsense. Happiness is a natural human state. It is genetic, sewn into our DNA, and it is societal conditioning that ruins that natural ability to simply wake up and be happy to be alive. Societal condition says, oh no, you can't wake up and just be happy to be alive and be human. You've got to go out and jump on the treadmill and engage in the rat race. And even then, you can't be happy until you've got the gigantic house and the 5 cars in the driveway and the $1 billion in the bank account. And when you get that, no, you can't be happy because somebody else has more than you. So you've got to really impress people by going and doing even more than that. Societal condition is dangerous to your natural genetic ability to be happy. And so you have to be able to remove those conditioned desires from your mind so that you can focus on just a few great aims that will give you everything that you want. A few great aims. The higher self-disciplined human being is not burdened down by numerous desires. But the few desires that the self-disciplined person has are much more potent and inspiring. You don't have many desires. You don't need them. You don't want them. They're useless. But the ones you have are absolutely, all-consumingly inspiring. They move you, and they move you because you have made them, constructed them, so that they do inspire you to move. You did so consciously. You did not do so mindlessly, the way most people operate. These things move you with your own conscious cooperation. There, they are there and installed and conditioned by you for the express purpose of reminding you of what it is you are here to do, what your purposes are. The higher self-disciplined person is decisive, whereas the lower self-disciplined person is not decisive. Remember, the lower self-disciplined person is suffering conflict. Inner conflict constantly. Even when they think they've made a decision, an hour later, the decision's gone and replaced by something else. I've been in that particular state, and I can tell you I don't like it. It sucks. But the higher self-disciplined person, because they have fewer desires, are very decisive. They decide on one thing, and then they stay with that one thing. And they do it in direct defiance of any random desire or internal conflict or thought that might rise up, because they're able to detect and recognize those conflicts when they do rise up, and they're able to simply let them go, not engage. They do not wrestle with internal conflict. If you know you've got to walk 10 miles, and at the 1 mile point, you suddenly have a feeling and desire to sit down and watch television and goof off with your friends, the lower self-disciplined person is going to suffer over the fact that that desire arose. They're going to jump in, they're going to wrestle, and they're going to fight, and they're just going to stand in one place, go nowhere. But the higher self-disciplined person is going to detect the onset of the temptation, and rather than wrestle against the temptation, the higher self-disciplined person is going to see it and simply ignore it and just keep on walking. Because within a few minutes, that desire, that temptation will disappear into thin air. Because the natural course, the actual nature of a thought and of an impulse, its natural course is to simply arise and fade away. The only time temptation, the only time conflict, internal conflict, and desire makes an impact in your brain is when you give it attention, is when you allow it to sweep away your attention. And so when you detach your attention from it and keep your attention in the room with you, in the here and now, in the present moment, when you control your attention, the conflict, the temptation simply fades away in the moment. And if you must, you got to do that 1,000 times a day. So what? It's your brain, guys. Your brain has to be rewired for this type of activity. It is not a common, normal mental condition. So the higher self-disciplined person is decisive. Why? Because they have fewer desires and they don't go to war. And when those desire, when random desires and thoughts and emotions do pop up, the higher self-disciplined person is able to simply let them go, let them run their natural course in his or her neurophysiology to simply rise and fade away. That's the natural course of a thought. The higher self-disciplined person lives in the here and now, in the present moment, psychologically. In psychology, they have a term called the psychological present. The psychological present, according to psychology, is about a three-second window of perception that is entirely based on controlled attention, so that you are neither immersed in thoughts of the past or thoughts of the future. You are not daydreaming. You are not engaged in regret or longing or anything. Your attention is doing one thing. It is immersed right here, right now, to where you know where you are and what you are doing. Remember that thought has a three-dimensional synthetic characteristic. When your attention is inside of a thought, the thought feels real, and that can be attested to by an example of dreaming. When you're dreaming, you don't know the difference between the dream and reality. It feels real to you. Thought has the same characteristic. Thought has taste, touch, feeling, sight, visual. It's a real world experientially. When you detach your attention from a thought, the experience is different. When you're in a daydream and you snatch yourself out of a daydream, when you become aware of the fact that you're daydreaming and you bring your attention back into the present moment, back into the psychological present, whatever effect was contained in that thought that you were immersed in fades away. It's gone. Higher self-disciplined people live in the here and now, the present moment. It is something that is practiced every day at every opportunity. When you brush your teeth, comb your hair, put your clothes on, reach for the car door, and you're driving down the street, the present moment, here and now, is where your attention needs to be. Changes everything from an experiential standpoint. It is the main key to higher self-discipline. William James, the psychologist, wrote, "Effort of attention is the essential phenomenon of will." When I mentioned earlier that that willpower doesn't work in trying to force yourself to do things, it's because the key to willpower is effort of attention, not effort at making yourself do something. If you can get mastery of effort of attention, then you won't have the problem of a lack or lower self-discipline. Attention is the key of kings, and most people never, ever give it, pardon the pun, attention. And a final characteristic of higher self-discipline is that you are your own sovereign ruler. Nothing rules you. the forces that allow other people to influence you, to dominate you, to convince you to do things that are not of your own will, those forces and characteristics simply have no effect on a person who has higher self-discipline. Because a person who has higher self-discipline has control of attention. And when a person has control of attention, they have control of thought. When you have control of thought, you have control of emotion. When you have control of emotion, you have control of impulses and urges. And when you have control of impulses and urges, you have absolute control over action. What action you take, when you take it, and why you take it. Now you're stepping into the realm of willpower. So the person who has higher self-discipline has absolute control over themselves. They have the exact same amount of personal power or more personal power than any king, president, prime minister, wealthy business person, anybody, any great achiever, same amount of personal power or greater, because there's many people in higher places that have no self-rulership. They've gotten there simply out of habit and connections. And I need you to think about something. You are genetically set up for greatness. It's entirely natural. And if you seem to be lacking in self-discipline, you're actually already halfway to success, because you're already using the tools that you need for self-discipline. You're only missing two ingredients. What are you using in self, in a lack of self-discipline, in lower self-discipline, that is actually going to help you in higher self-discipline, in acquiring greater self-discipline? Well, in order for you to be suffering from a lack of self-discipline, from lower self-discipline, you're going to need to use, well, you're going to be used by your own attention, your own thoughts, your own emotions, your own impulses and urges. And those things determine the actions you actually take. And remember, I talked about the pleasure principle, the psychological concept that the brain naturally is going to pursue pleasure and avoid pain. In lower self-discipline, because you're not in control of what you pay attention to, and you're definitely not in control of the thoughts and emotions that are coursing through your brain, the content of those things are what's going to determine what you have the urge to do in the moment, and you're going to do that. Since those are the tools that are using you in lower self-discipline, you're going to simply take those tools with controlled attention, and you're going to naturally just use them. That's that simple. You're going to simply insert the two ingredients. The missing ingredients are attention and memory. Attention, this ingredient, is what you need in order to be able to hold yourself in the psychological present. And you need to be able to hold yourself in the psychological present, in the here and now, so that you can detect, so that you can become well practiced at detecting the onset of the conflicting thoughts and emotions that arise in your mind, in your brain. You need to be able to detect those things. That's the problem now with lower self-discipline, with a lack of self-discipline, is you don't know those things are happening. Oh, you're living your life. Well, the truth is your life is living you. But you're not in the driver's seat. Your conditioning is in the driver's seat. From a lower self-discipline standpoint, you are no more in control of your life than a car is in control when it is placed on cruise control. You're basically a very clever machine at that point. You need attention control, so that you can begin to detect what's really going on not only outside yourself, but inside yourself. You need to be able to control your attention so that you can hold it in the psychological present. Your attention has to be omnidirectional. It has to be, you have to be able to direct it all around, as well as inside yourself, so that you can detect the connection between external and internal events, so that you can know what their effects are on your action. And I'm gonna give you this particular hint. Everything is internal. Everything that happens outside yourself that you believe is directing your life, the course of events that you think are determining what you do next, it's all happening in your brain. Yes, there are events happening in the external world, but the feelings, the experience is occurring in your brain. So when you detect an instance or an incident outside yourself, and you assume that you have to act in a certain way because of that particular incident, the truth of the matter is, it was determined in your own brain. You observed a stimulus. You observed an event. You had a thought-based emotional reaction to that event, which sparked an urge or a compelling need to take a particular action, and you took it. That's all that occurred. There was no attention. There was no conscious attention to it. But when you practice attention control training, when you are in control of your attention, you are able to detect in your own mind, in your own brain, the reaction that happens in response to every external event. And when you can detect that, you know why, in that instant, you know why you do what you do. And you can make a change, a different decision in that moment. Attention is the first ingredient. And attention training is what you need to be able to operate your attention in a way that disconnects you from old patterns so that you can consciously determine a new action in the moment. And it works in this way. Attention allows you to see the thoughts, the instantaneous thoughts that you never detect. Attention allows you to actually see the mental events that go on in your head, especially in reaction to external events. But also, attention allows you to see what's going on in your head that causes other events to happen in your head. Thoughts, there's a phrase that thoughts gather unto themselves their own kind. If you're having a negative thought right now, most likely a few seconds from now, you're going to have a follow-up negative thought. It just compounds and perpetuates. When you're having those thoughts, there are emotions that go along with those thoughts. You can't have one without the other. Where there's thought, there's emotion, there's feeling. Remember, thought has a 3D synthetic reality to it. Where there's thought, there's feeling. Where there's thought and feeling, there's an urge or an impulse, a spark that goes throughout your physiology that causes you to want to take some form of action, even if that action is simply to continue engaging in the thoughts themselves. That's how depression works. Depression causes a person to simply continue thinking in that negative fashion. It brings a feeling. There's an impulse. This person just continues to go through the pattern. Attention control allows you to see the machinations of the brain and what's happening. You have to train your attention in order to be able to detect those things. Attention allows you to detect thoughts. Thoughts are tied to feelings. Thought and feeling together sparks impulses, desires, and then the following actions. You don't take an action. For most people who are not trained in conscious awareness, every action you take is based on an impulse, a compelling urge. you don't detect it. It's fast. If you're talking the speed of the brain here, your physiology. You act because you had an impulse to act. You had an impulse to act because you had a feeling to do so. You had a feeling because you had a thought, and you had the thought that got all those things started because your attention was immersed in the thought. When you detach your attention, you stop the cycle, and you now have power in the psychological present. If you don't have your mind in the psychological present, everything you do that you think is affecting the process is an illusion. Through effort of attention, do you get to know your will? Now, the second ingredient is memory. You have got to know what it is you want. And there can't be conflicting, numerous desires. You've got to make a decision and know what it is you want. Even in this effort of improving your self-discipline, you've got to have a clear idea in your mind of what your objective is. Because you're going to be needing to rely on that memory over and over and over again. You're going to have to be able to remind yourself what it is that you want. Now, from a lower self-discipline standpoint, reminding yourself of what it is you want to do only brings pain because at the lower self-discipline standpoint, you've got all these other conflicting desires. When I say you got to know what you want, I mean through use of attention, you must pay attention only to what you want. You cannot give attention to anything else. If you are in the act of controlling attention, you are not going to give your attention to conflicting desires. You're going to continually redirect your attention, your efforts, your actions to the thing that matters. That is why controlled attention is so important, because it makes your memory a powerful tool. When you have a lack of self-discipline, you have an idea of what you want. The problem is you just got too many things, and you give your attention to all of them. When you have controlled attention, your memory becomes a tool, because you can now give your attention only to the one dominant aim. The one dominant aim. That's why attention control is so important. Your memory is the second ingredient, because you have to decide what it is you want. That's why in so many goal-setting courses, they say you have to write your goals down. You have to decide. Boom, here it is. Now, my problem back before I started training is I would write my goal down, but because I had no attention control, it didn't matter that I wrote the goal down. I was aware of the goal, and I had it written down, and I would remind myself, but I still had not removed the obstacles from my mind that conflicted with that desire. And those obstacles, actually, there were two obstacles. The fact that I had weak attention control and that I had far too many desires. I wanted everything. Oh, I was a heck of a goal setter. I wrote about 1,000 friggin' goals. I wanted everything. Everything that popped up in my mind, I wanted. I write it down as a goal. That's not the way it's supposed to work. Eventually, I figured out that what you want is one dominant aim that will give you all the rewards you want. So I have one dominant aim now, and that dominant aim is there to give me everything that I wanted. I never needed to set the goals that I set before. I didn't need to set those goals. To achieve the one dominant aim actually allows me to do all the other things with no problem. That's just a part of my leisure. You've got to know what you want. You've got to have very few desires. And if you can have one dominant aim in your career, one dominant aim socially, one dominant aim in your relationships, one dominant aim financially, then you're going to be much better off than if you've got 1,000 things that you want, because you're going to control your attention and direct it only onto the dominant aims. The fewer, the better. I lament listening to and watching goal-setting practices where they say, okay, I want you to write down everything you could possibly want. No, write down the one thing. Forget all the rewards. Don't allow your mind to dwell on the many rewards that you can have if you make a lot of money. That's a distraction. Focus instead on making a lot of money. And when you have that in your possession, you'll be able to enjoy the other things as just a matter of course. Don't waste your mental energy thinking about those things. Know what you want, because you're going to take your attention and you're going to direct your attention onto that thing alone. And because you've trained yourself in attention control by going to the NeuroSculpting Training Studio, signing up for the free course, or signing up as an active subscriber and taking our new training classes, you will have the attention control to be able to detect the onset of inner conflict, to be able to let it go, and to direct your attention only onto the thing that matters with great concentration, effectiveness, and efficiency. You've got to know what you want. Now, here's the thing. Remember the pattern. Attention, thoughts, emotions, impulses, and then action. The three things you're going to train yourself in as you go along the course to greater self-discipline, you're going to train attention. You're going to train focus. And then you're going to also train yourself in impulse control. Well, actually, when it comes to impulses, you're going to train in recognition, control, and then management. Now, attention control. I'm going to discuss for a brief bit focus and impulse control. Attention control, I've gone over enough, and you know how to get started. Just go to the studio, sign up for either as a subscriber or sign up as under the free course. Either way, you're going to make an effective start. You get a lot more attention, a lot more information as a subscriber, but you're going to get plenty if you just go ahead and sign up for the 7-day course. Now, let's say you've already started on attention control. The next thing you're going to start to focus on is your focus, your mental focus, okay? Now, we discussed the nature of attention. We discussed the nature of thought. Now, when you use these two things together, that is when you are getting into mental focus training. You're going to take your attention. You're going to take your thoughts. In other words, attention and memory, the two ingredients. You're going to turn your attention onto your thoughts. You're going to turn your attention to the thing you want. You're going to know what you want and then turn your attention to it. Remember, thought, emotion, urge, action. Let's call it thought, feelings, and urges. TFU. We'll use that three-letter designation. TFU. The issue that's going to come up when it comes to lower self-discipline versus higher self-discipline is one TFU versus another TFU pattern. Now, let's say you have your objective. You know what you want. That's your thought. That's your memory. You turn your attention onto it, and you keep it there. That's your focus. Every thought contains emotion. That is going to kick off the right urges. You're going to feel like you're going to desire to do what's necessary to take the individual actions in the present moment. That's a TFU pattern. That's the one that works. That's the one that empowers you. Now, on a lower level of self-discipline, you're going to have constant conflicts with other TFUs. You're going to have other thought, feeling, urge patterns that are going to pop up. But remember, you're already training, so you're going to be able to instantly detect and then disconnect from the effects of any such pattern, any such conflict. So for the majority of time, your mind is going to be solely concerned with the one TFU that matters, the one thought, feeling, urge, pattern, because you're in control of your attention. There's only one thing in your life that matters. It is that pattern. And when I say that, I'm speaking metaphorically. Of course, there's going to be other things that matter, but those things are not going to detract you from the one dominant aim. So remember the pattern, TFU, thought, feeling, urge. Whatever you're thinking, you're feeling something because of it. And the combination of the two is causing you to want or desire or to have the urge to take particular action. And if you are in conflict, that urge is going to be escapism, entertainment, to get away from whatever it is you're doing, even if what you're doing is beneficial for you. So attention control, that's the main ingredient, gives you a proper TFU. It allows you to disconnect and reject all other TFUs. And remember, attention and thought combined equals your focus. You've got to be able to set a goal. When we talk about knowing what you want, you've got to be able to set the goal properly. You've got to know your objective, and you've got to know why. Because why is what's going to continually pop up in your mind when you think about it. That why is your emotional connection that fires off the impulses that make you want to do and take action upon the thing. So as you're controlling attention and you're controlling thought, you're controlling the why, which means you're controlling the impulse and the desire, which means inevitably you're going to be controlling all the action, because you're only going to act on what you want to do or what your impulse is in that moment. Now, as you advance and you get more into impulse control, impulse recognition control and management, you won't be acting on impulse so much. You'll be acting consciously and quietly in a relaxed way in the present moment. But for now, you're going to be using the TFU as your tool. Remember, the TFU, thought, feeling, urge pattern, is what's dominating you on the lower level of self-discipline. And you're simply going to consciously control your attention and use it to help you for higher self-discipline. You're going to control your focus by controlling what you do with your attention. You're going to put your attention onto the thoughts, the desire, the goal that you construct. You construct it. Just say you write your goal down. You write in the details. You're giving it attention. You're going to focus by thinking of that goal each and every day. You're going to be thinking about the person you need to be to achieve that goal. And then the more you think about becoming that person, of being that person, of that person's characteristics, the more you're going to act on that. You're going to be that person right now. And it's not faking. You're that person. You are genetically designed to be a superior human being. Every human being is genetically designed to be more than they are according to societal conditioning. Societal conditioning is simply not your highest level. You've got to be able to set a goal, make a decision, and take action on your goal. And the way you're going to do that is using this TFU pattern. The two ingredients, attention and memory. So let's talk about a couple of powerful ideas you can use along the way. In your training, the first thing you're going to do is you're going to train your attention. We've already discussed that. As you get really good at controlling your attention, you're going to start to step into the realm of mental concentration. When you set a goal, the individual steps and actions that are necessary to achieve that goal, every single one of those is to be approached with mental concentration. That means you reject all other distraction. Well, you've already got attention control. If you go on to the next task, let's say you want to make a certain number of sales by the end of the month. You know you've got to make a certain number of phone calls. You've got to contact a certain number of people. You've got to get belly to belly with a certain number of prospective clients. You know what you have to do all month long in order to hit those sales numbers. If you're a writer and you need to produce a certain number of pages, you know that every day you've got to churn out a certain number of pages. Now, when it comes to the individual tasks of that day, of today, that's when you employ attention control so that you reject all other distractions and you are then engaging in mental concentration, because the task at hand is the only task that matters for you, and you reject every other temptation. Attention control leads to mental concentration. And if you concentrate on that task right now, you'll be able to concentrate on the next task later on today, and then tomorrow, and tomorrow you do the same thing until at the end of the month you've done everything you need to do to be able to achieve that objective. That's the only thing you're concerned about. That is higher self-discipline. That is discipline of the self, because you are not comparing yourself. You're not saying, I'm a better person because I engage in this particular practice, piano practice, sales practice, martial arts practice. That is not making me a better person. That is not self-discipline. The fact that I control the one thing that is the essential phenomenon of will is what makes me a better person. And that one thing is attention. And the reason it makes me a better person is because it clears away the obstacles standing in my way on the path to freedom to be all I can be. It is through attention control that you acquire self-discipline, that you are able to begin to remove the obstacles that are standing in the way to you being all you can be. So when training, you're going to start out with attention control to get into concentration. And then the next step, of course, in order to be able to concentrate, you're going to have at least some level of control over thought. The first level of control you're going to have is the ability to detect it and reject it. At this point, that's all the control you need, the ability to detect it and then reject it. Because when you are able to detect the onset of a thought, an impulse, and urges, because they're all going to come as one package in your brain. When you're able to detect it, let's say you're engaged in a task, and suddenly you feel the temptation of thought to pull you into itself, to distract you. You detect it because you're trained to detect it. You practice each and every day these mental fitness training techniques. You detect it. You reject it, and you reject it not by fighting or wrestling with it, but by simply redirecting your attention, as practiced in your sessions, redirecting your attention back to the present moment and then back onto your target, your right target. In doing so, you didn't wrestle with the conflict. You did not get into conflict. That's why there's no self-conflict in higher self-discipline. You did not get into conflict. You simply put your attention back to work on what it's designed to do, which is obey your will. And your will is self-discipline, a better self, a removal of obstacles from the path of your being all you can be through simple redirection of attention back into the present moment, then back onto your target. Moment, target. Moment, target. Temptation, back to the moment, back to the target. That's the pattern. Temptation, back to the moment, back to the target. It is through that that you begin to recognize thoughts as they come up. You detect them, and then you reject them. Because if they're not thoughts that you designed, you have no interest in it. You have no interest in the distractions. So you're going from attention to concentration to thought control. The second level of thought control is you design your own thoughts. Remember, you got to know what you want. Isn't that correct? You got to know the kind of person that you need to be in order to do it. And that's all you need to know. That is your focus. That is your thought control. You sit down, you write these things out, you talk to yourself about it, you think about these things. Anything that doesn't have anything to do with that, you reject, you let it go, and you go back to target. Remember, temptation, back to the moment, back to the target. You need at least 30 minutes a day of thinking about your goals and who you need to be to achieve those goals. And in those 30 minutes, as long as you continually reject anything that has nothing to do with it, you will get there. Because by merely practicing that, you're already becoming the person you need to be. And then the next level of training is you're going to engage in impulse recognition, control, and management. Now, you've got to have good attention control to be able to do this. You've got to be able to detect the thoughts. But while you're looking at the thought, you want to recognize the fact that there is emotion tied into that thought and that emotion is firing off physiological impulses and urges in your body to take action. The thought that is causing the conflict is trying to make you do what it wants you to do. It'll make you promises. It'll propose to you that it'll give you pleasures if you obey it. It'll threaten you. It'll tell you, well, if you do this, I'll leave you alone. If you do this, you'll feel pleasure. If you do this, you'll avoid the pain that I'm threatening you with. When you control your attention to be able to observe the thoughts that arise in your mind, those thoughts that conflict with your genuine will, you want to be able to detect not only the thought, the images, and the sounds. You want to detect the emotions that it kicks off, and you want to detect the spark, the anxiety, the physical impulses that it kicks off. And then you want to bring your attention right back to the present moment, hold it there, and then go back to the right target that you're supposed to be on. That will cause the law of displacement to kick into effect, because your brain can only dwell on one thing at a time. And when you turn all your mental resources back to your proper target, the conflict will simply fade away. And you do this over and over again. And if you have to at the beginning, if you have to do it 1,000 times a day, you do it 1,000 times a day until you only have to do it 100 times a day, until you only have to do it once a day, until some days you simply don't even have to do it. You have no inner conflict. You just flow with what you need to do. Now, here's another powerful idea to help you out in the beginning. Reminders. Set up constant reminders to help you remember. Remember, it's memory. Constant reminders to learn to control your attention. And you have 1,000 opportunities throughout the day to control your attention. Do nothing mindlessly. Remember I talked about brushing your teeth, combing your hair, putting on your clothes. Even when you're driving your car or mowing the lawn or doing the dishes, do it with absolute concentration. Keep your attention in the room with you. And you need reminders to remember to do that in the beginning. Eventually, you won't need reminders. And then another idea, another powerful idea to wrap this up that you should integrate into your practice. Recruit one or more people who you can trust to support you and keep you on the right path. Find somebody you can trust to remind you of what you're supposed to do and why you're supposed to do it. Someone you can confide in. Someone you can trust who will support you. Not berate you or anything like that, or not anybody will talk negative. And you know what? Sometimes it's going to be a stranger, somebody you don't know all that well, because the people around you are often the people who will not help you do anything of value. Sometimes it's not the people you love who are going to help you. Find somebody who will help you. And a lot of times it might be somebody who's already gone where you want to be. A mentor, a good friend. Let them know what it is you're trying to do and how you need to let them serve as reminders of what it is you're needing to do. Folks, thank you once again for joining us, and I hope that this week's episode of the Mental Power Hour has been informative, helpful, and perhaps provided you with some ideas you can use to help live a better mental life. Remember, on next week's show, we're going to talk about my favorite book, The Power of Concentration, by Theron Q. DeMont. Now, this is in preparation for a new course that I'm setting up on the power of concentration for your benefit. If you have any questions about any topic in our program, contact me directly. Email me at trainer@neurosculpting.com or go ahead and call the online neurosculpting training studio, and I'll be glad to help you out. Thanks for tuning in to the Mental Power Hour.